baba shiba ba o o shiba ba baba baba shiba ba o o shiba ba.
Do you know where we are?
Whose house are we?
Whose house?
Your mom's house. Say what?
We're back.
And we're back. And is it working? Yes, it's working.
We have a new device.
We basically took this wonderful device that we used for our last momcast.
Yeah.
And last time we bought microphones, and we used there's XLR inputs in here if you know what those are, and I don't know, it just didn't work that well. I don't know what the reason would be, but it didn't work well. And so now we're using the built-in directional microphones, if you will.
If you will. But a lot of time has passed since our last momcast, and we had the holidays, and we did a lot. We came to Florida on December 22nd, and we've been here ever since. We're still in Florida. And we did the holidays, we did New Year's, we traveled, we loved, we lived, we took dumps, we ate brownies, and we're here.
We opened presents.
So many things have happened.
We drank.
We drank
alcohol.
I've still been drinking a lot.
Been drinking, drank tonight.
Ah.
It's been a really long time. And here's the thing. You know, with most things, we said that we were going to really be good mommies.
Yeah.
And is that better? Oh, yeah. That's better.
What do you mean? We got to just hold it like this.
Yeah, that's the way to do
Can we just hold it like this?
Yeah.
Okay, that's better.
But, you know, yeah. Well, anyways, we were supposed to do these.
We said
we were going to do these more often. I mean, because we had been. You know, it's a new thing. We want to do them weekly. The point is, life caught us by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, it's interesting.
It grabbed our balls. It pinched them.
It pulled them down really hard.
And it twisted them.
Yeah, it twisted them.
And then it said, you're not going to do anything yet.
But our balls are back, and they're freshly shorn, and they're high and tight, and we have so many stories and tales to tell you. Let's just dig right in. Let's just thrust ourselves into the beast.
Well, let's start off with,
okay.
I think, addressing the fact that it's, you know, we missed the holidays. So, first of all, Merry Christmas and nothing else.
That's right, number one.
Number one, because it's the number one holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not bullshitting about the other holidays. I mean, yeah. We're loving people, but it was Christmas time.
Let's face it. This is America, and it's Christmas, and there's a big old Christmas tree in our living room.
That's
and nothing else.
It ain't a holiday tree in my fucking house.
That's right, sir.
Asshole. So, and also, happy Hanukkah.
Whatever.
And other stuff that you do.
Count. Yeah.
So, I hope you had a good one.
Yes.
We certainly did. We had a good one.
We
here.
Did. Tommy's family is very fun and normal compared to what I live with. My father was in Colombia, put it that way.
Wow, yeah. Well, let's also point out that my family is highly dysfunctional.
Sure.
That just goes to show you other levels of dysfunction that you're used to.
Yeah.
It's not like my family's...
No.
You know.
But by comparison, I consider when there's no drug addiction or plates of food being thrown around, it's a good Christmas.
It was close. It was pretty close to both of those things happening. So it was a wonderful Christmas. We both... had work.
Yes.
We had work for New Year's. We brought our comedy stylings to two different venues.
Tell me about your routine. What kind of skits do you do in your act, Tommy?
Are you into observations or what do you talk about? Have you seen the O'Reilly Factor? Do you talk about that?
Wait, here's my favorite. When you meet someone who's terminally boring, like on a plane, and then they tell you a banal story of the time there was toilet paper stuck to their shoe, and then they say something like, "Don't put that in your skit. Don't put that in your skit." Like you would ever put a story a stranger told you.
Yeah, I'm not going to, asshole.
In your skit.
I know.
It's never going to happen.
They always do that, and they have, you know, the other one is like after a show.
Mm.
You know what I mean? After a show, you're hanging out at the club, and then...
Yeah.
There's always like the six people that are not going home no matter what, even though everyone else has left. And then they start, you know, can I get you a drink? And you'll be like, all right, like, you know, like, sure. Which is a big mistake.
Big.
You don't have to let anybody get you a drink.
No.
Because you're working there. And then they do the, you know,
Roger, last week we were at the bar over on 18th. He told the guy, I'm not gonna have another one of these until you bring out the cheesecake. He ate the whole cheesecake. Is that in your act now? Are you gonna put that in your act now? This guy's got a whole new right. bit from us. I'm like, no, right. fuckhead. Never. I'm not gonna put it because it was the worst story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ever remember you ever again.
Now, and what are you gonna preface that bit by? Yeah. You're gonna get on stage and you're gonna say, "Hey guys, here's a story about someone you don't know and
so
I don't know."
I met these four pieces of shit last night at the bar, and one of them
was missing teeth. First of all,
they didn't know when to leave, and they couldn't tell. They don't pick up on social cues, so they didn't know that I didn't want anything to do with them. And then they told me an awful story. Want to hear it? Well, they were hanging out last week at a bar, and then the one guy wanted another drink, but he also wanted a hot dog.
Yeah.
Then the story, and then they all laughed.
Tom, do you realize how antisocial we are and how misanthropic we are?
Is it pretty bad?
Yeah, I think compared to most, unless people are being honest with themselves, they hate other people. Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about going. Okay, so you went to
Détroit. Sorry. I did. I got to go from on the 30th. Oh, my sister got married.
Oh, my God. We didn't. I don't know if you want to, you know.
Yeah, well, I know. But still, congratulations to Maria and Jeff. They got married on the 29th.
So pretty.
It was very
so
fun.
So cool.
Wonderful thing. It was actually one of those, like, I was expecting with my family and people there, things were going to go, like, there was going to be some type of destructive fight or something. Not that we're a bunch of hillbillies or anything. I just thought that something would go wrong.
Well, something of mine went wrong. I decided that I wanted to eat at your sister's wedding, and I was wearing Spanx, which for men don't know it. They're just girdles, all right? I don't know why they call them Spanx. They're girdles. And I went to the bathroom, I took my girdle off, I put it in my purse, I went out, I was a little drunk, and the girdle fell out of my purse and under the table, and I left, and the girdle was found and thrown about and laughed at, and people were making fun of me for throwing my girdle
under
the
table. But
the
best thing was that you were not going to let life continue without that girdle, and you put out
it's
an
all
points bulletin that,
I did.
Look, I'm looking for this fucking girdle. And it wasn't cheap.
It was not.
And I want it back. And God damn it, you got it back.
I got that shit. His cousin tried to steal it, and I snatched it out of her suitcase. That's a $75 girdle. You know that? Mm-hmm. Spanx with an X. Spanx is $75 goddamn.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for a girdle.
Just for a fucking girdle?
So anyway, so you went to Détroit. It was freezing. As usual.
Yeah, coming from Florida, flew into the day to the D, and I'll tell you what's going on in the D. It's cold in the D, all right? So cold in the D.
Yeah.
I don't know how the fuck we're going to be without killing each other's lives.
Is that really
but
a song?
It is a song, yeah. Yeah. It was introduced to me by Joseph Rogan. He showed me it.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. He's played it many
times.
No,
his skits are funny.
He has wonderful skits. Does he really smoke weed? People ask me this. Like,
really?
So does Rogan, does he really do those things? Does he really like the pot? No, it's a whole fucking act.
Does he ultimate fight himself?
Does he actually like those fights? No, he doesn't.
No.
He hates the fights. He wishes it was cricket.
Cricket's much better. So you went to the D.
Went to the D. I did two shows. Yes. I got to share a hotel room with Jeff Tate because Jeff was doing Ann Arbor. And
who is your doppelganger bear lookalike buddy? You guys
Jeff's
look
my good buddy.
Alike.
Yes, he was middling that night. Even though he's super hilarious and can headline anywhere, he was like, let's crash. So we partied. We went to Denny's three times. Whatever
you
we do,
did?
Whatever we do. Yeah,
you
didn't
tell me that, you crazy bird.
Well, it was next door and there was nowhere to go.
Wow.
To. But anyways, I actually had a really good time. I did Joey's in the D, and I thought I was going to be way blacker. I thought, but then I found out, like, when I was like, oh, Detroit, right? It's like, you're not in Detroit, man. You're in Livonia or whatever, which is a suburb outside of, it's not in proper Detroit. But anyways, the shows were packed. I upset two people a lot. One was this. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. But it was after the second show, this woman comes up to me and she goes, oh, do you sell t-shirts or anything? And I go, no, like, I don't
I don't have any out, and I don't have any.
Right.
And she's like, oh, okay. And then I go, oh, but I do have, because I didn't have them out yet. I just got into the table.
Yeah.
I had my CDs, and I go, oh, I do have this, I do have a CD. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, I don't want one because you suck. And I was like,
oh.
I was like,
thank you.
She said it like so quickly, and I thought she was like, that was like her joke. And I go, are you serious right now? Because then she wasn't looking at me.
Yeah.
And I go, are you serious? And she goes, yeah, you was racist.
No.
And I go, I'm sorry? And she was like, you was racist. All that stuff about the Mexicans.
Yeah.
And then she was Mexican, you know.
Well, that's why she took offense, because she happened to be the one thing that you made
Yeah,
fun
but
of.
I didn't. It wasn't like a racist thing that I said. You know, no. They were just, these were just jokes. And she did say, you was racist.
she was conjugating improperly.
But I is not.
Mm.
And I is wanted too.
Well, would we be racist if we were having a podcast on Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Holy shit, we haven't even addressed
didn't
that
even
yet.
Say happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to the
happy
King.
Happy birthday, King.
Really was.
But that, can I, back to your point, I don't mean to sidestep that, but that is very annoying. It's very rude. Why did she even ask you if you had merch, if she was going to shit on you?
Because that was what she wanted to. She thought that
she wanted to.
She was so hurt by what I had said.
Yeah.
She wanted to hurt me.
Yes.
So her way of hurting me was saying, do you have anything?
Rude.
Oh, you do? I don't want it because you suck.
Yes.
But it wasn't really about me sucking. It was about I hurt her feelings.
Yes.
Because she's Mexican. And I don't have any taco material. I don't talk about tacos.
Or chimichangas.
But I wanted
or
to.
Or tapatio.
I wanted to offer that. And then the other thing I wanted to offer her was Spanish lessons. Because,
you speak fluent Spanish. I don't know if you know this, listeners. My husband speaks fluent Spanish and good Spanish.
Yeah.
Perfect Spanish.
It's pretty amazing. And I kind of have a, you know, it's kind of a pass to talk
to
about
the Mexican
Hispanic
world.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying I can talk about any Hispanic thing I want to.
We can talk about issues that Mexicans care about, like shiving, stabbing people, parole.
I do not support what the stuff you're saying right now. It's very offensive to me.
What do you mean?
It's offensive to
me. The doyers.
Babe.
What? Tamales.
I mean, that's not nice stuff to say.
Bacon wrapped hot dogs. I'm pro all those things. I grew up in L.A. But I understand. You know what I had one guy do to me once? I was in Arizona, and I had a good set. I was headlining the show, and I did a good job, meaning the crowd liked me, which I don't know if that means you're doing a good job. But anyway, this guy came up to like all the other comics and me. We were all standing in line, and he shook everybody's hand. And then when he got to me, he totally ignored me and did it in a blatant fashion, as if to say, nah, bitch,
no,
you
not.
Don't get my hand. And he was a black gentleman.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's put it out there. And he sassed me. And I don't know if I offended him. I don't know what that was. But it kind of messes with you because you remember
it does.
One person and it gets in your skin.
I take a lot of offense too to like someone saying, you know, like your race. Like it's such a damning label to throw around
yes,
and to
it's
get
easy.
And like to I mean she didn't even get like this woman like you know I made some comment about well being white is fucking awesome and she took to not pick up on the fact that I'm not saying that
right.
seriously
yes.
It's not I'm not literally talking about
yes.
hey man we're in charge and this is fucking awesome.
Yeah of course who would
it's,
would you really
the whole crowd gets that it's done
right
jokingly, like
right.
There's a sarcastic tone,
right.
to the way facetious, if you will.
That's a big word.
Yeah, but actually, what I found way more offensive than this woman, and to be honest, not, and I'm not saying this because she's Mexican, but you could tell by you know the way she spoke and how she took offense to this. This was not a bright person.
Not bright,
right? But yeah. you know, she's just not bright. Across, like that's just who she is.
In
it
life.
Has nothing to do with her race. She's just not bright. I didn't find her comment as offensive because she wasn't bright. And I could tell that she wasn't bright. I'll tell you what I found more offensive was another person that night, another group of like two or three. These both shows were sold out. New Year's Eve is every show is sold out. So I'm sitting there and I do this thing and I was doing this bit about midgets. And I started off by saying, because it was New Year's Eve, I go, look, I want to talk to you about something. And I did it, a lot of times I've closed shows on this or done it towards the end. I did this like 25 minutes in because I'm bored. Sure. A bit, so I want to do something different.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Comedy Central's airing, I don't know, a little special of Tom Segura's January 21st.
Which hopefully this will be out.
Oh, yeah.
And up tomorrow, and yeah, the special airs Friday, I think. Oh, well, anyway, so okay. I said, and I took pleasure in saying this, I said, mm-hmm. I told him I don't like midges, but I said I understood that this is their time of year where they get to work a lot, mm-hmm. so we should...
Which is true,
and... A lot of people responded to that in the room with chuckles because they know what I mean.
Right.
I'm implying that midgets work a lot during the holidays. Because there are elves everywhere.
Right.
Well, a woman yelled out from the audience, little people. And I said, excuse me? She goes, they're not midgets. They're little people. And I said, no, they're midgets. Yeah. And do you know why they're midgets? She said, why? I said, because I'm fucking talking right now.
Mm.
Like, this isn't like a, you know, a press conference.
It's not bingo. She can't just yell
I'm not asking you.
Yeah.
And so then what she did was I did the bit more aggressively than I normally would because it was done as a fuck you at that point to that woman. And then what she did was from that point on, and I've been to shows like this. I've been a part of shows like this, and I've seen shows like this from an audience member. She decided to talk at her table as her own, her way of voting that she doesn't like the show.
Yeah.
Which is so much more offensive because that's somebody saying my opinion, my taste.
Yes.
Supersedes everybody else's.
Yeah, I'm going to ruin the show.
Well, I'm like, because I'm not enjoying the show mm-hmm. and I don't like what this person said. Nobody else should enjoy the show either.
Right. And instead of just getting up and leaving, because that's what you can do. If you don't like content on television, guess what? Turn the channel.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the comic that you probably didn't research before you went out,
yes.
which is lunacy to begin with. Nobody goes to a movie.
Insane.
Yeah.
Do
you
that.
Don't go to a movie theater and go, oh, what's it, 8 o'clock? I don't give a shit. I'm just going to watch any movie. No. If you go to a comedy club, look at the website. See who's there. Watch their clips. If you find them offensive, don't fucking go to the show.
Yeah.
Stay home.
Actually, what I'm most
stay home and
excited,
watch Two and a Half Men and laugh at that.
What I'm most excited about with the special, is taking. I'm going to take the most offensive clips.
Yeah.
And tell all my future bookings like, show this clip.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, play this clip at your club, so that. Whoever comes already knows, like, it's
what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to be, like, balloons are crazy because they
agree.
Fly high. Yeah. So, anyways, but it's so, like, it's unbelievably, like, narcissistic to, I mean, that's, it's the equivalent of being in a movie theater. It's like the movie scenario. And a couple scenes unfold.
Yeah.
You hate them. You don't like them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you go... I can't believe this fucking movie. And then you start talking.
yeah.
You start talking like at full volume
right.
so that nobody else can listen to the movie.
Yes.
And so I had to multiple times be like, hey, you know, talk to them. And it wasn't very policed room, but it was her way and this table's way of being like, you know what, I don't like this guy. And so instead of just sitting here silent, we don't have to laugh. I'm not saying you have to laugh ever.
Right.
But her way of dealing with it was just, I'm just going to talk. We're going
to
talk loudly.
Oh, I had a woman do that to me in Atlanta. She just decided in the first 5 minutes of my set that she wasn't into me, which is fine. You don't have to like me. And she just was drunk and belligerent and at her table decided to just start a conversation. I don't like this fat bitch. That's what I apparently she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she held on conversations and eventually they kicked her out. But it's just so rude, you know, and I get it. I don't like every comedian out there either. But again, do your research. Don't just show up blindly. And, you know, and if you're a real vanilla person, don't go to Late Show.
Yeah.
Do not go to a comedy club at 10 o'clock because you're going to hear F-bomb, you know.
It's the only, like, forum.
Crazy.
The only art form.
God
forum
damn it.
Where somebody got, like, it's the equivalent of a place saying, it says, you know, music or movies.
Yeah.
On the wall, and you go, let's just go watch it.
Any.
Whatever
I don't
movie
care.
You got. Yeah. It is.
Oh, it smelled. I had garlic. All right, I don't want to talk about people I hate anymore.
No, okay, but
let's
move along.
Okay,
how was. You were in San Francisco.
Yes, I went
how
to
was
San
that?
Francisco. The flight getting there, it was hellish because it was days after the storms, and I'm sure if you were flying or after Christmas, you wanted to kill yourself as much as I did. But it was fun. It was very easy. It was at the Palace of Fine Arts, and I was expecting to have a lot of like old, you know, like Fagala couples, and Lezzies, and you know, cool like young. But they were cool. They were like older couples, which was very surprising. And they weren't as liberal as I was worried they'd be. I'm always weary of San Francisco. I went to college there, and I know how liberal that town is. And humor tends to not be very. How do we say that? Like politically correct? Like you're not funny if you're politically correct, as far as I'm concerned.
And that's a politically correct.
It's very PC.
Yeah.
But they were cool, and I had a good time. I was very happy to come home and sleep because I hadn't slept. But it was good.
And you had fun.
I had fun. I had a good. It was every New Year's. I have
you had
such
a great
high
lineup
hopes.
Too.
Yeah, it was really good shows like Nick Thune, Lori Kilmartin, the Sklar brothers who were really. Cool and Charlene Yee, and I think that's it. Oh, and Shane Mouse and myself.
Shane Moss.
I thought it was Mouse.
Is it? Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was Shane Moss. Shane, I've never met you. I thought it was Shane Moss.
You did an excellent job. It was very good.
And
it was
for the
very
record,
good.
Christina's saying Shane Mouse.
Mouse.
So if she's correct, it makes sense because she's met you.
And I have.
If she's incorrect and I'm correct, which I suspect that I am.
How dare you?
It's just because I'm smarter.
Wait, but then can we talk about... Wait, so when we came back to New Year's, we came back to Florida. Why, you ask? Because we were going on a mommy cruise.
That's right. There's a cruise coming. But we had 7 days between 8 days.
Yeah.
We did do a couple local shows.
Oh, yeah, we did.
For fun. And had a great time. We did Port St. Lucie. We did Mickey Finn's.
Yeah, that was better than I expected.
And that's like a you know a fun bar. And Casey Peruski runs that. And we had a great time doing that. I think it's every Wednesday night in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, and there's a fun open mic after the
right
show.
Right after it, and there are some crazy like that's actually the open mic. There is what open mics should be.
Yes,
which is that you'll see some talented people. Come up around some stuff, but you need every open mic needs like questionably, like you know, mentally challenged, not like retarded, but like just people who you're like, wow, what level of medication are they on? Are they a threat? Are they a danger to this room right now?
Crazy or creative?
That is exactly what it is.
There was this guy in L.A. When Tommy and I met in Los Angeles at a place called the CAG Club on Sunset Boulevard back in, when did we meet? 02?
We met in 02.
03, 02?
02.
And at the time, there was this comedian named Matt Crass who would always close out the shows. He had tons of friends. And Matt Crass would get so hammered. You remember, Tommy? The guy would be so
whiskey.
Drunk.
It was always
whiskey.
Yeah.
And he looked, he was a blonde, shaggy, he looked borderline homeless. Like he may have slept in the alley.
It would always be fun because it was always a slow unraveling at the show. Because after you got to know him, then the next time at the show, you'd be like, what's up, Matt? He's like, hey, man. But he would be like coherent and
he's a nice guy.
Right. But then. There'd be like, you know, 11 comics on, and then you would see him, and they'd be like, now, and then you could see him stumbling, or, you know, leaning, and he'd be like, and then they'd get him his last whiskey. He's like, what's up, you fucking faggots?
Yeah,
and like, he'd come up there and be like, whoa, like, he was completely hammered. And of course, it was always better if he was more and more
It was the best.
Drunk, yeah.
Well, the beauty of Matt Crass is that he would open, his opener would be like, I took such a flaming hot dump. You know when you take a hot shit and it spurts all over the toilet and you throw up in your shit and you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
where is he going to go?
Where is he going to go? And it didn't go always somewhere, but it nevertheless.
Where is Matt Crass now? That's
where
I want to know.
He also sang. He was in a band.
Shut up.
He was. Yeah, he was in a band. A lot of his band mates would come to those shows.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
So we did that, and then we also did, in Boca, we did the Funky Buddha.
Yeah, that was
which
really
was
neat.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yes.
And it's what you like. You want comedy venues. I wish more clubs were like the Funky Buddha.
I agree.
Funky Buddha just has, you know, it's like more of a music venue, but it's, you know, it's small, it's intimate, it's got the high stage, but you know, they're not forcing comedy upon people when they do their comedy shows. They're advertising it, and they're charging something. So it's people that are paying, but they're not charging a lot, and they just had a full room of people that want to see a show.
And it's a cool vibe. It's not like a shitty, stifling, you know, it's not too bright, it's not too dark. It was like, it was cool. It's like an opium den a little bit. Like, they had hookah pipes, and, you know, there's like paintings of girls and their titties out. And it was
cool guys that run it. They have like, you know, really cool, great
beers, IPAs.
It was fun, man.
Yeah.
Had a great time at the Funky Buddha. So after that, our time off here, we did a couple shows. Then we went on a cruise.
Choo-choo!
That's
not the sound it makes.
It doesn't go choo-choo. That's what trains do.
It goes... Oh, good one.
That smells.
That was terrible.
That smells.
God damn it, Tommy. God damn it, I'm going to throw up. That smells so bad.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's what time it is.
Babe, damn it.
Well, you did it too.
I can't sit this close to you if you're going to burp in my fucking face.
Well, you did it too.
Ugh, but why does yours linger?
Because I drank that vomit.
I'm going to throw up. Tommy had vomit soup tonight. Yeah. That's soup. Tom, my husband, ordered soup that actually tasted like vomit, and everybody agreed at the table. It was revolting.
And it looked like vomit.
It looked like it was like spinach with egg. It was so foul.
God, that was terrible.
Wait, but please, can we talk about it? They don't want to hear about your fucking dumb soup. Come on.
I know. You were upset about the thing.
I'm upset.
So we went to, my parents invited us on a cruise.
And, so great.
Which is really awesome.
Oh.
And so it was just Christina and I and my parents. And thankfully, we didn't all share a room. We got our own room.
We did.
And we had a great time. There was... some things that, one of the things, we went on this, we went on Holland America, and it's very nice. It was astounding. I've been on a few cruises before, that this was the oldest, like the oldest people ever on a cruise.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
I know you associate maybe your cruises, you go, well, yeah, old people go on that. But if you've been on other cruises before, which I'm sure, you know, obviously many people have, I mean, like to break down the cruise lines, there's Carnival is like the party cruise. That's where you go if you just want to like drink and party, and you know, just
it's cheaper too. Yeah, so
it's cheaper,
younger
yeah.
people can get
and
it.
Then you know, you go up from there, and there's, you know, Royal Caribbean has some really nice stuff, and you can, you know, you can definitely pay a premium to do that, or you can save money by like staying in one of their inside cabins. But they have some really nice ships, and then you get to you know, Celebrity and Princess, which usually has a big mix. And Holland America, I'd never been on, but this shit was it was a retirement cruise.
So many oxygen tanks.
Determined that Holy this was shit. A lot of people's last cruise. Like, that they were never going to cruise again.
No, and there are people that would take naps, and you almost look like you didn't know if they were ever going to wake up.
And then this is something that, like, if you've been on a cruise ship before, you'll know how crazy this is when I tell you. We would go at night sometimes, you know, we're not crazy partiers, but we would go like, oh, hey, let's go up to the deck, up on the pool deck there, and let's get a drink. And the pool deck would be the Lido.
The Lido, as your father would say.
Would be completely empty, and the bar would be closed. So we'd be like, oh, are there any bars? And they're like, yeah, there's another bar on the deck up there, up top. And you go, and there's a bar there. And we'd be like, can we get a drink? They're like, we're closed. Closed at 11:30 midnight.
Yeah.
Closed.
Yeah.
On a cruise ship. So that just shows you, like, if you've been on other cruise ships, it's not unusual to have all of these places open at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
Well, but on the other hand, Tom and I prefer old people because, number one, they don't make small talk. There's not going to be a lot of idle chit-chat. Number two, they are cleared out by 10 p.m. and you have the whole ship to yourself.
Here's the other
thing.
Yeah, we realized that we are 85 years old because it was absolute fucking heaven to be on this ship.
It was great.
And the other thing is, you know, the worst part about, like, any type of vacation where you're talking about a large number of people are, like, lines and stuff. Well, guess what? When you're nearly dead, you don't feel like going to a lot of of the options on a trip. So there weren't a lot of people anywhere. Anytime we wanted to do anything, there was nobody there.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So there's no lines. Like, one of the worst parts about a lot of cruises is getting off the ship when you port. Uh-huh. So, you know, you pull up to, like, whatever, St. Martin. And then there's a line up, like, five decks. Like, everybody is trying to get off. Yeah. And you're like, shit, man, this is going to suck. That didn't even come close to existing because most of these people just stayed in their cabin.
Not Holland America.
Yep, it's Holland America.
Did. Well, we did go to the Caribbean. We should let them know that, too.
Yeah.
But the best part of Holland America is the terrified Indonesian staff who, if you give them any less than a perfect rating on the little scorecard that you fill out, your comment card on the way out, they pretty much get caned and thrown off the ship. So they're always terrified of you, and they're all, we've determined, pretty much homosexuals.
Miss, please, if you don't mind, anything less than a 9, I will lose my fingers and then my toes, please.
Yes, sir. Can I get you anything?
Can I give you a bath right now and feed you strawberries?
Please don't. If you don't give me perfect score, they kill me.
I don't want to die.
Oh, so cute. And a lot of them, in our opinion, were very effeminate, very fey,
mm-hmm.
and probably homosexual because, let's face it, back home, they can't be open and they were probably having a really good time with each other. I'm hoping. They don't have much time off.
Here's what they're doing. Those guys, this whole bullshit about I work on a cruise ship because I get to see the world, that's bullshit.
That's horseshit, yeah.
Because first of all, if you don't know this, it might be kind of alarming to you. They get absolutely 0 days off.
Literally. Okay?
You get no days off. You work 7 days a week. Usually, most of these people were on a 10-month contract. So for 10 months, 10 consecutive months, you work every day.
Yeah.
At most, you get like a few hours off, okay? So what these guys were doing, these Indonesian, Filipino people, Malaysian. Yeah, and we met an alarming amount who seemed at least to be gay.
Yeah.
As they're going on this thing so where they can be gay and not die. Yeah, it's all
not
about
killed,
I don't want to die, but I want to do this. And then you can
so
use the guise of like, no, I want to see the world. You don't get to see the world. You're fucking doing laundry and scrubbing toilets.
No, you get to clean out our suite that's full of breakfast remnants and panties on the floor.
Our pig suite.
Our pig suite and dirty socks. That's what Tutuk and Wahid get to do on their staffing jobs.
They were sweet guys.
Very sweet. But,
Here's something else we love that we discovered about ourselves.
Ugh.
We like bingo.
Oh, shit, yeah, we like bingo.
Just like a couple of 22-year-olds. Clickety-click, 66.
Oh, well, it's sexy legs 11. Quack, quack,
whistle
22.
If you got them.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite one?
Yeah.
No, my least favorite one where he goes, not so sweet 17.
Yeah, that one sucks.
I don't like that one. It sounds perverted.
Or then he'll go
I like
N
that.
44.
Yeah.
All the fours.
Yeah. Oh no, here's one. Here's the granddaddy. Oh, 75. That one's fun. And he did not like us. The announcer was from Australia and he wore pink shirts every day, if that tells you something.
He wanted to chug it and so did the cruise director.
They all everybody's gay. Yeah. And he did not like us. We were persistent players. We were diligent. Tom would run his finger along
the... I run my thumb along the numbers twice to make sure I don't miss one. So when he calls out...
Bingo!
063, I run my thumb along the O column twice to assure I do or do not have said number.
That's right.
I have my own bingo strategies.
Now, here's the big sham of bingo is that nobody wins. They claim to have a high pot. Nobody
These motherfuckers. Let's play. Let's tell you something about bingo. Okay, bingo. This is the way most of the ships do it. They play bingo every day, and they have a jackpot that builds. And usually, nobody will win for the first 5 to almost 7 days of a 7 day cruise, and then they take that lump sum of money and they play until somebody wins on the 7th day. So on the last day, somebody's leaving the fucking bingo game with like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 grand, right? So you're actually leaving with real, like, that's a good amount of money to win for a fucking bingo game.
Yeah.
Here's where they played on this cruise. They had, you play like 4 games. The first game you play till you win, but it's for like $100, and then 200 and 300. And then they go, okay, now we're playing the big jackpot game. It's for 30, 40, and it eventually was 100 grand on the last day. So you're like, wow, 100 grand?
Yeah, you're all excited.
Grand? Yeah.
We're going to win this.
It's for, you have to win the game. You have to do the cover your board in 46 balls, which is absolutely absurd. It is, right? That means that...
It's impossible.
It's basically... It's close to impossible. I mean, when I said, does anyone ever win this? He's like, I heard about a cruise. I was like, wait, you've heard about somebody winning?
Yeah.
Bullshit. You call this shit every week on this boat. You've never... No, no, no. I heard about it. One time, a guy that I met at a bar in San Juan told me about another ship where there was a guy who said that there... I mean, come bullshit. On, man. That was total bullshit.
It's a big scam. But whatever. It's still fun to dream.
And those guys weren't cool. They tell us the fucking password for the next day.
Yeah.
And then we get in there like, oh, that was for the morning game. Hey, motherfucker, you didn't say there was a morning game.
Yeah, he lied. They switched the schedule on you. And then you think it's 4 o'clock bingo. It's actually 3 o'clock, you fucking cocksuckers.
That's right.
Well, listen, we also came up with a really new marketing idea for the cruise ships.
I'm reluctant to put it out there because I don't want somebody to take it, but...
I know what you mean.
You know what? I think great ideas you shouldn't hold on to. So anyways...
Let's put it out there into the world, and if the universe approves, it'll just come back to us. We'll make our millions.
That's true. All right, here's what it is.
Okay.
We are going to start our own cruise line called Your Last Cruise. And what it is it's a cruise line that caters to those that that are ready to go to the other side.
A cruise to the other side, if you will.
And a lot of them we saw.
Yeah.
Our inspiration was this cruise. And it's for those that are like, you know what? There's not a lot of living to do, but I want to live large.
I want to go out.
Yeah, I want to go out on a bang.
So when you get on the ship, you check in, you get your bag of heroin. You get like a gallon. Well, what's a good size bag of heroin? Maybe a trash bag of heroin.
But you get heroin, you get coke.
Crack.
Pills. OxyContin, Viagra.
You need the Viagra because there's lots of hookers.
Right. Percocets. You get crystal meth. You get like a backpack with all the different pouches in there, and it has like your needles and stuff, and no condoms. There's never condoms.
No, not on your last cruise.
In your last cruise, you get a stripper and a few hookers, and they walk you to your room, and then you just start doing all these drugs, and you start banging your hooker and your stripper's there, and she's like, you know what, I'm gonna hook too. So now you got two hookers, And it's just a week long.
Wait, and you get AIDS because who cares?
Yeah, well, everybody has AIDS. We only take hookers and strippers with AIDS. So there's AIDS is just flowing all over the ship.
Oh, you drink AIDS
because they're strippers and hookers that got kicked out of hooking and stripping because of their AIDS. We want to give them work
and herpes. You just get it because it's your last week. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
And whenever you say, I think I got something, there's a nurse that comes by and goes, "Yep, you got it. Go fuck yourself." And they don't give you any treatment. And then. So we do that for a whole week. We only endorse binge eating on the thing. So basically, we wheel you up to a buffet table and you eat, and then you just vomit into a bucket that's between like on the side. So and you can do it while you're getting a blowjob if you want, and
you can shit anywhere.
Yeah,
you can shit and pee anywhere
on the decks in the pool. You can smoke, and you can throw your cigarette just at somebody.
In your eye, in someone's eye, in someone's asshole. Nobody cares.
The whole point is we know you're going to die, so do the shit you wish you could do all the time.
The only rule is no raping.
No.
That's the only, I think, right? I mean, are there any limits to what you can do on your last cruise?
Oh, well, we want a little decorum, right?
No rape.
No rape.
I mean, what other crime against humanity is there?
I would say no stealing, but it doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit? It's your last cruise.
It's your last cruise. You should steal from everybody.
Yeah, that's,
I guess you can't kill the staff.
No murder. Yeah. No murder unless it's sanctioned by the staff, who's been given the right to murder you at the end of the cruise.
Well, gosh, you just gave it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
But it's okay. The last day.
Shit,
God damn it, Blanca. The last day, what they do is the ship goes out after you've hit your ports. And, they take you to, really rough ports. Just
Bangkok, Sri Lanka.
They take you out to the middle of the ocean, and there's a big, the big party on deck. Like, a lot of times they'll have, like a chocolate decadence party. This is the last cruise send-off, farewell party. So there's bands and there's strippers and there's
goose liver pate,
fireworks going off, and they have a big party, and then they set up the plank, right? and then everybody that signed up for your last cruise goes out on the plank.
No, on the catapult.
Right, but there's a catapult there.
Yeah.
And then every person gets catapulted out to sea, drunk and high, and. And they do it in like a shark infested zone, and with every person that goes off, the reggae band plays like
steel drum.
Yeah, the steel drum, and they're like, "Hey, man, la la, this is George Dredd,
rude boy. My name is George Dredd. You'll be sentenced to the catapult.
There'll be no disrespect in the courtroom. I sentence you." Four songs on the dance floor. So they catapult you out to sea, and then they sing and dance, and then the staff just goes back and picks up the next group.
But the staff never gets AIDS.
No, the staff has AIDS too.
Oh, well, maybe you have AIDS before you
hired. I don't want to be discriminatory. It's not like they just have AIDS.
No, but they can have it. That's the best part about our cruise. That if you have some ailment, we're not going to discriminate. If you are a heroin addict,
right.
If you do have AIDS, if you're, whatever. Freaky,
but, I don't want people to feel like we're just going. I mean, a lot of people on this ship are going to have AIDS, but they're going to have a lot of shit. They're going to have a lot of problems, too, they're going to have every STD. They're going to have, all types of. People with diabetes and
we saw a lot of that.
Oh
P.S. Shit. P.S. If you
Ebola,
everyone says you eat a lot on a cruise. Not on Holland America, because when I saw morbidly obese people wheeling themselves around, I stopped eating. And we saw so many wildebeests, hulking beasts of human beings, sea pigs, if you will. And the human body is not meant to carry 500 pounds of weight and be wheeled around on a rascal and parked next to a swimming pool so that you can throw fries into your disgusting gobbler. And it was pretty heinous.
It makes you feel good about yourself.
I tell you what, when I came back from this cruise and I says to him, I says, Lou, I feel younger. I feel thinner, and I feel happier comparing myself to these hideous people all week long.
Yeah.
And I'm no elitist, but I will say that I feel much better about myself after this cruise.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Then we, so the last cruise anyways.
Bingo.
We're looking for investors. Anybody wants to invest?
That's not a bad idea.
I think we're going to make you and us a lot of money.
Mark Zuckerberg can build us a...
Speaking of Mark, I was about to say website. That we're a little behind, but we did see, we finally saw the social network about the Facebook. And really good movie.
I loved it. I'm totally into Mark Zuckerberg now. I thought he'd be a total... I don't want to make sweet love to him, but I admire the guy's tenacity. I admire his antisocial behavior. I admire the fact that he was smart enough to do something. You know, and those two Winkleberg kids or whatever, he didn't steal it from them. You know, they had the germ of the idea, but he really did all the programming. Are you yawning during my fucking podcast?
No, I just sniffed.
I can't believe you just yawned.
I didn't yawn.
I, here I am. I'm sharing a brilliant idea. And you yawn.
I didn't yawn.
Anyways, I think he's fabulous. And I like Mark Zuckerberg. I'm a huge fan.
You do?
I do. And I befriended him today on the Facebook.
You did?
I did. I became...
You sent a friend request?
I did. You can only like him because he's so famous that you can't you can't actually be his friend.
How many likes does he have?
Like 58 million, 11 billion.
Really?
No, I don't remember. Maybe 58,000? No, I think it should be more than that.
58 million, you might be right.
I think it's amazing. He's a billionaire, right? He's like the youngest billionaire.
Yeah. That's the part that impresses you, his billions?
No, I like that he doesn't give a shit about money. That's even more impressive.
Yeah, that actually is. I saw a little thing on TV where he lives in like this 2-bedroom home and drives a hybrid and like...
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. It was just like, what, dude? You're not fucking out on yachts and shit?
No. You know what, though? I mean, I knew a lot of guys like him in college that were just super smart, and they just don't know how to be social. They don't know how to be with other people, and I think that's Mark Zuckerberg. He's a smart guy, doesn't know how to be a decent person, necessarily. He did screw his buddy out of 33%.
Eduardo.
Yeah, that's not cool. I don't condone that.
But, no. But the film, you know, like you have to imagine when you watch it, obviously that things are heightened and exaggerated and even maybe inaccurate as far as how it really happened for the sake of entertainment.
Yeah.
But the film was really well done. I mean, David Fincher, I think, directed it, and really, like, great actors. I really liked it.
Can I tell you what I noticed watching it a second time on the TV is the music is super creepy and cool, and I looked and it's Trent Reznor
which
where the fuck has that guy been?
That's a lot of people are saying, but I think he was nominated for that.
That was cool. I never liked Nine Inch Nails. I thought Trent Reznor was such a crybaby, like I was goth and all that, but he was really too much of a crybaby for me. But you know that he lived in the old Charles Manson murder house, Trent Reznor?
No.
He recorded some album there.
You've been to that house?
I've been there. I've been there for a lunch once many years ago. But that's a different story.
Well, I just watched that movie and I was like, holy shit, I'm so dumb.
Yeah.
That's really the sentiment that I got was not just from the film, but just knowing the real life. Like, no, I mean, I'm already pretty well aware of like my shortcomings when it comes to, you know, school. I never was a great student and like, yeah, these people are at Harvard, and you're like, yeah, there's really smart people. But then when you're, like, seeing them come up, you know, this kid just knows code.
He just
knows computer code, and he's just like, oh, just fucking da-ba-da-da-ba, just type in this code here. Here's a website. Can I have fucking $20 billion?
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, what am I fucking doing?
Here's the part that makes you really want to kill yourself, is he was born in, like, 1984. Like, I was pretty much a person by 1984. It's retarded. And to think that I actually studied something as stupid as philosophy when I should have been studying goddamn HTML or Java or Javelina, whatever.
I remember when I was a kid when they were doing like they were like computer things because computer was so new, and they're like, this computer course. And I was like, that shit just sounds hard. I don't want anything to fucking do with that. Mm. Here's a little side note, by the way, if you're a fan of that. Well, at the end of the movie, there's a little thing that comes up that's like, you know, font that across the screen that says, you know, he settled his case with the Winklevoss twins, and then Eduardo and him, whatever, settled a case. And then it said that Facebook has a $25 billion valuation. Well, if you keep up in the news, Goldman Sachs invested some money last week.
And
they gave Facebook a $50 billion valuation.
Oh, mama.
So just from the time that the film has ended to this current week, January 18th, we're at 17th, they doubled the valuation of Facebook, which is pretty ridiculous and an extraordinary amount of money. And he is the world's youngest billionaire. And
such a loser. What the fuck was I doing? You know what I was doing when I was his age?
Right.
I was smoking a lot of pot.
Mm-hmm.
I was smoking a lot of cigarettes. I was drinking a lot. And I was reading philosophy books. And sitting in my dorm room thinking great thoughts. And I should have been goddamn programming.
It's too late.
Damn it.
It's too late, Blanca.
So stupid.
God damn it, Blanca.
Stupid. Anything else I should have done?
There's a lot. There's a lot failure. I should have done.
So much failure in my life. What's your... Do you have a regret? A big regret? Seriously?
I have a number of them. I always regret looking back now. I regret, like, how little I applied myself in a number of things, like, when I was younger. Like, I always wonder, like, what course my life would have taken if I had tried more. Like,
me
I was
too.
Such a lazy Fuck. Student. And then when I got to college, I realized that, that I had just been lazy. Like, when I applied myself, I actually was...
Well, that's the thing. You figure out when you're older, you go, oh, wait, no, all I had to do was sit down and, like, really and try.
Yeah.
And just focus. And then you can figure math out. You can
figure out a lot of things.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I didn't try that for a lot. And I didn't, I did also, I don't know, man. I don't even want to, it's depressing to think about your shortcomings, your failures.
I know. I should have done better on the SAT. That's my big thing. I got like 8 something. I was borderline retarded.
That's surprising.
No, I'm so stupid at standardized tests.
Jesus.
Do you know that one time?
8? What?
Oh, I'm so retarded. I didn't even break 900.
Really?
That's how stupid I am. Well, because my math.
But you're smart. You always did.
Well, after I got into college, I got smart. But high school, it was miserable. Do you know I scored like, all my score was verbal, and then I scored like 3 something in math.
Do you
That's
know
how
my,
stupid I
my
was.
My GPA was so low in high school that they were like, we think you're retarded. and then I took the SATs and just, I never studied for it. I didn't do the prep things. And I didn't do great, but I got a 1030
That's
or something.
That's better than me.
And they were just like, oh, you're not retarded, right? And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, maybe if I study now, I'll, because you can take it again and they'll do you better of your 2 scores. I studied and I took it again and I got a lower score. So they're like, it's just a fluke.
You guessed right a bunch the first time.
Yeah,
you should have just. Well, I took the LSAT to get into law school because I went to law school for 2 whole weeks. And I didn't do stellar, but I did slightly above average, I think.
Yeah.
I did a B, I guess.
Yeah, this is depressing, man.
No, it's not. It's called reality, Tom. Is it? Are you seriously sad? Don't be sad. Don't be sad, Tom.
Why?
Because you're just, life goes on. You're going to scratch your nuts. You're going to take another dump.
Yeah.
And life will go on.
I'm doing it right now.
Life is nothing but dumps and nut scratches for you.
Thanks, babe. What's Mark Zuckerberg doing? Scratching his nuts?
Oh, Mark Zuckerberg has 5 girls he pays to scratch his nuts, probably.
Actually, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's too nerdy. Can I tell you, I took a dump today in Tommy's sister's bathroom, and I didn't tell her. And it was such a huge one. It was like a foot long. It was a massive dump, and I clogged her toilet today. And I was really excited about it. Can I tell you that?
I plunged it.
Did you see anything?
No, I didn't see dumps.
Oh, thank God.
It did clog. Clogging it, see, here's the thing. I've clogged a lot of toilets. But there's something about clogging a toilet with shit versus paper that really is an accomplishment.
Right.
It really is something. Because I've clogged a lot of toilets with paper just from wiping a lot. And... It's not the same. You're just going, oh, I'm using too much paper. This thing only has this much capacity. When you clog it with shit, you really need to feel good about yourself.
And you know what? I feel good about myself even though I barely broke 800 on my SATs.
Because you took that shit today.
Yeah, that's right. And you know something else? You think Mark Zuckerberg took a big shit like that today and clogged up his sister-in-law's toilet? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And he's not married.
He's not married.
No. So right there, he's already behind you.
What a loser that guy is.
Single loser.
What a douche.
I took a couple good shits. Took a big shit this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
You snuck away. I didn't even
see
you.
No, we went to the market, remember? Wasn't that
terrible? Oh, I love when Tommy has to shit in public because it's not his... Me, I prefer it. I actually prefer shitting in public because I think it's so unladylike and I love horrifying other women. It gives me a sense of joy. Tommy doesn't like to because he makes huge dumps and it's offensive to the world. But today he had to do it in the grocery store. And I love it. I love it. Did you get squeamish? Did you get scared?
No, I've I used to, but I'm starting to really take control of who I am. And
your aha moment, if you will.
I've had my aha moment, which tells me, you know what? Shit everywhere and shit proud. I used to be like, I'll wait till I get home or,
right.
You know, but now don't I just go, that. You know what? I got to take a shit. And then I sit somewhere and I shit proudly. And I almost want somebody to be like, hey, is this occupied? And I'll be like, yeah, because I'm taking a shit, pal.
That's right. Yeah. Write that in your Oprah journal. Journal it.
I had to shit today. And I knew that when I had to shit,
yeah.
I was going to shit there like I owned that
good
place.
Good for you. I think you should own it. You know, I was IMing with my stepsister today. And I won't tell you the particulars, but we were talking about shitting, and she referred to them as bowel movements.
These are the particulars.
Well, let's just say I think that's a little lame. You know, if you're willing to talk about sex, if you're willing to talk about life and love, you should be willing to talk about dumps. And I don't know why women are not encouraged to discuss their bowel movements. I think it's a part of life, and it's very natural, and you should be proud of your brown. Thank you.
That's a great. I think that's how we should kind of sum up this show.
I think we should. Yeah, we've done enough.
We've
today.
Done enough show.
I'm exhausted.
I'm tired. You're tired.
God damn it.
Here's what's going on this week. Yes, it is Monday right now. This thing should be up Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh.
You have some shows? Well, this Friday, Friday, January 21st, I will be on Comedy Central. I have a Comedy
mommy.
Central Presents airing at 11 p.m.
That is wonderful.
Eastern, 8 Pacific.
That's huge. Yeah. Please watch it. It's a premiere. He's the first one. He's a premiere one, which means...
Season premiere.
Numero uno.
Oh, numero uno.
Number one.
And,
my husband.
At the same time, I will also be performing this weekend at the Comedy Castle in... Royal Oak, Michigan, which is another Detroit suburb. And the following week, 27th, 28th, 29th, I will be in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix.
Mm.
So, please tune in or show up at one or all of these events. What about you?
Well, I will tell the Mom's House listeners that Toledo, I will be at the Toledo Funny Bone January 27th. Through the 30th. If you can be there, that would be awesome. That's Toledo, Ohio, as opposed to I don't know where. And then Los Angeles, I'll be in Burbank at Flappers Comedy Club February 4th and 5th. Special event, a night with Christina Pajitsky and her tummy.
Oh.
So that's exciting.
That is exciting. And it's nice to perform in the Los Angeles and sleep in your bed at
amazing.
Night.
Amazing, yes. Isn't thank it? You. And Velvet Jones, February 1st in Santa Barbara.
And Velvet Jones, February 1st in Santa
Tripoli's
Barbara.
Room.
All right. Well.
Oh, it was fun, Tommy. I love you.
I love you, too.
And I love all the podcast listeners.
Yes,
Happy
please.
New Year, you pigs.
And we're on, well, now you probably know, but we're on iTunes now. So
iTunes.
You can search for your mom's house and your mom cast on iTunes. Please tell your friends. And we will be much more consistent. Now that we're getting
promise.
Back in the groove,
promise.
We're done with our hiatus.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace, dogs.
Have fun.
Bye.
Check out yourmomspodcast.com, the official website for the podcast of Tom Segura and Christina Pazinski. Also, you can subscribe to Your Mom's House podcast on iTunes. Also, we are now on Stitcher Radio, so if you have a BlackBerry, Android, or an iPhone, download the Stitcher application and search for Your Mom's House. For all the podcasts of the Death Squad family, check out deathsquad.tv.